Thank you for that word, Rabbi Glenn. Well, good morning. Shabbat Shalom. This is the first of two messages this morning. Me and Rabbi Glenn will be preaching back to back on continuing a discussion on the themes of Sukkot. And so I have the privilege this morning continuing our teachings on Sukkot. And during the holiday of Sukkot, we remove ourselves for a time from the craziness of life and experience the peace of the Sukkah. The Sukkah is fragile and temporary. It's a shelter that's designed to expose us to the elements and to focus us on the Lord. We sit in the Sukkah, we take our meals there, we're supposed to focus on God. As we sit in the Sukkah, we remember our time in the wilderness, longing for the promised land and all the promised blessings it contained. Now, it's important to understand, though, that our wandering through the wilderness was more than just a difficult time in our history. It was more than just one long schlep. The desert wilderness serves as a spiritual metaphor for life in this fallen world. Like the wilderness around Sinai, our lives are very harsh and difficult. In this life, we are dependent on the blessings of the Lord for food, water, and yes, even shelter. As we read in God's word, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Although I do hear there is an addendum in some of the manuscripts that says the rain falls twice as much on the state of Michigan, or at least it feels that way this year. But we spend our lives in this wilderness, experiencing all the physical and spiritual troubles it brings. But like our ancestors before us, we who have become faithful to the Lord long to experience his promises. We long for his blessings. We long to be closer to him. And I believe this is at the heart of Sukkot, this longing to move from the wilderness of this life to the spiritual promises given freely by the Lord to all of his disciples. So this morning, I'd like to spend some time exploring our longing for the Lord. We will look at the source of our longing and where righteous longing is leading us. And we'll talk a little bit about unrighteous longing as well. So why do we long for the Lord? What's so wrong with life right now on earth? Well, as a wise rabbi once said, we live in a world that is satanically controlled, in rebellion against God, and under a curse. You may know this, Rabbi. But it's true. And we experience this sad truth every day. Right now, we have wildfires that are decimating the forests of California. I think this year we have the invasive murder hornets, these giant hornets that I guess kill other bees and relentlessly sting. We have hurricanes. We have lots of fun flooding in Michigan, and the list goes on. We also have corruption in our country at all levels, and even more corruption worldwide. I think of Myanmar, I think of Afghanistan, and other countries that are under authoritarian regimes who commit barbaric atrocities each and every day. You don't need to be born again to realize these are some big problems. But much of our world encourages us to tune sinfulness out, to focus on our own pleasure, our own lives, and obsess over what we have and how to get more. But if we have been blessed with the light that comes from our sinless Messiah, we should be mourning the darkness that surrounds us. We mourn when we see another innocent baby dying, or our brothers and sisters martyred around the world. We mourn the injustice, inequality, and perversion that seeps into every part of our modern society. Mourning our broken world and longing for the Lord to set things right is a sign we are truly his people. Our Messiah taught that those who mourn, who long for the world to be healed by the Lord, are blessed. As we read in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Until our Messiah returns, we will mourn the spiritual wilderness we are born into. But we are not alone in our mourning. We have been promised by the Lord that he will comfort us through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to endure the darkness that surrounds us for now. But the spiritual wilderness we walk through is more than just outward. It's more than just what's going on down the road or around the world. Life in this world affects each of us personally to our very physical core. On a personal level, we have issues with our physical and our mental health. As we get older, our bodies also break down. As we live life, we will experience all kinds of diseases, from just random aches and pains to serious health problems like dementia or cancer. Like a sukkah in the storm, we are relentlessly exposed to the elements of this world. You know, I bet you if we went outside right now and took a look at our pretty little sukkah, it probably looks a little less pretty than it did last week, after being bombarded by Michigan storms the entire week. And that's us as we go through life. You know, it's enough to make anyone upset, and these truths do upset us. We don't like to sit and contemplate these things. Our society tells us, don't think about it. You know, just be like the ostrich, put your head in the hole, and maybe it'll all just go away. You know, it can't be avoided, though. It really can. And I don't think it's a coincidence that today issues such as depression, loneliness, suicide are on the rise as more people feel hopeless than ever before. Study after study shows us this across all sorts of age groups, from children to older adults. The world can be a very dark and very painful place and has been since the fall of our first parents. So for those joined to Messiah Yeshua, part of our longing for the Lord is also longing for what he's promised us. And in particular, he has promised us resurrected bodies. We have the promise of the resurrection. We have the promise of resurrected bodies as we live with him forever. And I love how 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5 illustrates this truth. 2 Corinthians 3 through 6 is just where I park myself most days. Love 2 Corinthians 3 through 6 and love this passage in particular. And so we read from the words of Rabbi Paul through the Holy Spirit, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit," referring to the Holy Spirit, "as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." So we do groan in these bodies, sometimes literally, often literally, from the aches, the pains, and the more serious issues that happen as we go through life. And so using the beautiful imagery of a tent, or really a sukkah, we see our longing as disciples to experience the Lord in our permanent bodies. And I definitely identify with this passage, and I hope you can as well. The sukkah with its fragile walls and design reminds us of our fragile bodies. While we are in these bodies, we do have so many burdens. These tents will eventually fall apart, and then we will pass away. I think of all those I have known and loved who have faded until they have passed away. No matter how many times we experience it, we still long for death and suffering to come to an end. It doesn't get easier the more times you're exposed to it. Now, our fallen world would have us believe that death is natural. That it's just the way things are. You just got to deal with it. That this is how we were designed. Yet all of us in our hearts know something different. Because death always feels wrong. People can have a peaceful death, but we still struggle with loss. We still struggle with grief when somebody dies. As believers, we can be sure that death isn't natural because Scripture proclaims in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that death is our enemy and that it will be the final enemy that is destroyed. So we long to be clothed with our heavenly bodies and to experience eternal life with Messiah Yeshua forever. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit as a promise that eternal life with him will be coming soon. Now, I don't think anything I've shared this morning so far is very surprising or new. You know, life is hard isn't really a deeply new statement to make from the pulpit. These facts about what life in this wilderness is like is something we all understand as we grow older. It's part of growing up. And yet, every human being, believer or not, has a longing deep inside for something better. We all long for a better world and for better lives. We want to experience light and joy, not darkness and sadness. You know, our world offers many solutions to this, to give us this, but none of them have worked or will work. For all our progress in so-called enlightenment, we still deal with the exact same struggles recorded thousands of years ago in God's word. We cannot, in our own power, move from the wilderness of this world to somewhere better. So we've talked about where our longing comes from. But what exactly should we be longing for? Now, I've hinted at this, but let's just lay it out. The world we live in tells us we should long for more money, power, attention, and stuff. More and more. That we should be satisfied with the things of this life, and try not to think too much about it ending. This is, of course, the opposite of what Sukkot's righteous longing is pointing us towards. Because it's not pointing us towards the earth, it's pointing us towards the Lord. Sukkot points us forward to a time where we will tabernacle, live with the Lord forever. But what does that mean, to tabernacle with the Lord? Now, Rabbi Glenn's message this morning towards the end, we'll get into this a little bit more, but let me touch on it briefly now. Longing for the Lord is a longing to experience life forever with him in his promised city. If the physical wilderness our people went through represents the spiritual wilderness of life in this world, then the promised land of Israel points us to a future spiritual reality. You know, Israel is nice. It's a beautiful country. I have it on good authority that it's a beautiful place to live. But it's not perfect. And anybody who's been there for more than 5 minutes will also tell you that too. But we're pointing ourselves to something spiritually perfect. We're pointing to a new Jerusalem, as Scripture describes, greater than any human city. Our longing to live forever with the Lord in his city is also not new. This same longing for God is something that our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, shared as well. They walked by faith through their wildernesses, looking forward to the Lord's promises and not living for this world. Hebrews 11 goes into this in great detail. We read in Hebrews 11, 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The patriarchs and those who came after longed to experience the promises of the Lord. They refused to live for the wilderness of this world that they knew was fading away. Instead, they were being spiritually led towards a new Jerusalem, a city not made by human hands, that can never and will ever, never be destroyed. Those of us joined to Messiah also join in their longing for Adonai. We long for the new Jerusalem and an end to our wandering in this spiritual wilderness. We long to see death and mourning and crying and pain wiped away. The heart of Sukkot is a longing to truly tabernacle with the Lord forever. We too long for our earthly sukkahs to be replaced with buildings that will never perish. Most of all, we long for our Messiah's return, as we say speedily and in our days, so that all these promises that we long for will be fulfilled. Here's the heart of it. Every human being, saved or not, has longings. And many of them are self-obsessed and sinful. I would say most of them. But like those who came before us, we need to have a righteous longing for God. We need to push away the longings that our dark world wants us to embrace that just lead to death. Our Messiah taught us to seek after the treasures of heaven that will never be destroyed. We've talked about some of those treasures this morning. They include an end to mourning and bodily decay, among so many more. Sukkot challenges us to examine who or what we are longing for. Are we longing for the return of the Messiah? Or are we longing for something else that will pass away? Financial security, power, attention. Are we longing for the things of this world or the new Jerusalem in the next? Because as our Messiah also taught, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's my prayer this morning that the Lord would comfort all those who mourn the sinfulness of this life. May he satisfy the true longing of our hearts for a much better country. May each of us be led by the Lord through the wilderness of this life and to the new Jerusalem, where we will tabernacle with him forever and ever. Thank you.